Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, November 26, 2025, 3 John.
All right, before we get started, we have a birthday. This Friday is Valerie's birthday, and she's one of the Merry Widows of Upland Bible Church, and this congregation is very blessed to have a lady like Valerie in our congregation. She is the best of the best. So happy birthday to Valerie on Friday. And this is Thanksgiving Eve. And the turkeys are all crying. Yours are alive? Don't touch Francis's turkeys. She's a great shot. Two in the head, one in the heart, you know. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Ah, you were in 3 John. Some of you are trying to find 4 John. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, Americans have been celebrating Thanksgiving for 404 years. Thanksgiving is our oldest national holiday, dating back to 1621. It was on that day that Governor Bradford of the Plymouth Colony ordered a day for giving thanks to God. That first Thanksgiving was centered around church services, followed by a feast of venison, wild turkey, and quail. The pilgrims invited the neighboring Indians, the Wampanoags, and their chief, Massasoit, to the celebration. And that first Thanksgiving is described in a very excellent book, and if you don't have this book, I highly recommend it. It's called The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. And it has a subtitle, Did God Have a Plan for America? And of course, the answer is, yes, God had a great plan for America. For the last 200 years, the United States of America has been God's client nation to the whole world. Unfortunately, in the day in which we're living, the United States of America is in apostasy and degeneracy. We are still the client nation to God today, and how much longer, we don't know. There's a lot of bad decisions going on in the United States of America. In this book, the very beginning of it, I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see rays of ravishing light and glory. I can see that the end is worth more than all the means. John Adams to Abigail Adams on the passing of the Declaration of Independence on July 2nd, 1776. In the book, The Light and the Glory, it says, that summer of 1621 was beautiful. Much work went into the building of new dwellings, and 10 men were sent north up the coast in the sailing shallop to conduct trade with the Indians. Squanto once again acted as their guide and interpreter. It was a very successful trip. And that fall's harvest provided more than enough corn to see them through their second winter. The pilgrims were brimming over with thanksgiving, gratitude, not only to Squanto and the Wampanoags, who had been so friendly, but to their God. In Him they had trusted. And He had honored their obedience beyond their dreams. So Governor Bradford declared a day of public thanksgiving to be held in October. Chief Massasoit was invited, and unexpectedly he arrived a day early with 90 Indians. They came for Thanksgiving dinner. We invited 90 of you, but sorry you couldn't make it. Counting their numbers, the pilgrims had to pray hard to keep from giving in to despair. To feed such a crowd would cut deeply into the food supply that was supposed to get them through the winter. But if they had learned one thing through their travails, it was to trust God implicitly. As it turned out, the Indians were not arriving empty-handed. Massasoit had commanded his braves to hunt for the occasion. And they arrived with no less than 5 dressed deer and more than a dozen fat wild turkeys. And they helped with the preparations, teaching the pilgrim women how to make hoe cakes. Do you know what a hoe cake is? It's cornmeal baked on the blade of a hoe, a hoe cake. And a tasty pudding out of cornmeal and maple syrup. Finally, they showed them an Indian delicacy, fluffy and white. Popcorn. The pilgrims, in turn, provided many vegetables from their household gardens. Carrots, onions, turnips, parsnips, cucumbers, radishes, beets, and cabbages. Also, using some of their precious flour, they took summer fruits, which the Indians had dried, and introduced them to the likes of blueberry, apple, and cherry pie. It was all washed down with sweet wine made from the wild grapes, and it was a joyous celebration for all. Between meals, the pilgrims and the Indians happily competed in shooting contests. Now, that's a great Thanksgiving thing. Go out and get to have contests shooting your rifles and the bow. Now, that's what Thanksgiving ought to be. Shooting contests with gun and bow. The Indians were especially delighted that John Alden and some of the younger men of the plantation were eager to join them in foot races and wrestling. There were even military drills staged by Captain Standish. Things went so well, and Chief Massasoit showed no inclination to leave, that Thanksgiving Day was extended for 3 days. But one moment stood out in the pilgrim's memory. William Brewster's prayer as they began the festival. They had so much for which to thank God. First of all, for providing all their needs, even when their faith had not been up to believing that He would do so. Secondly, for the lives of the departed family and friends, and for taking them home to be with Him, absent from the body and face to face with the Lord in heaven. And third, for their friendship with the Indians. And fourth, for all His remarkable blessings in bringing them to this place and sustaining them. Thanksgiving. Now, you may have read this morning that school departments all over America and universities say that Thanksgiving is horrible. We should not be recognizing what went on that first Thanksgiving with the colonists. That right there shows you that we as a nation are in apostasy and degeneracy. And I know that you all pray for America. I love our nation. I love what that flag stands for. I love the freedom that we have in America. The freedom still to assemble in a Bible-teaching church like this one, and the freedom to worship our living and true God, Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of evil thinking going on in our nation today. I had you turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Everything. And this is a command. This is a command for you and me, for every believer in Jesus Christ. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will for your life. What this verse says is that it's God's will for you to have thanksgiving every single day. Not just one day out of the year. It's God's will for you to have thanksgiving every single day. And when you make good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and advance to spiritual maturity and fulfill the ultimate objective and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ, when that is true in your life, then you will have thanksgiving every single day. Now, we've heard it from this pulpit many, many times. It's God's will for your life. He has the most fantastic plan for you. When you fulfill that plan He has for you, you will have thanksgiving every single day, and you will have Christmas every single day. Here we have thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians 5:20. Always. Oh. Who put that word in there? Always. No, just about 10% of the time. No, always. Always be thankful. With reference to all things. Wow. Always be thankful with reference to all things. And that means the adversities and the problems and the sufferings as well as the prosperity. That's included, everything's included in all things. Always be thankful with reference to all things, to God, even the Father, through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. These two passages, they're both in the imperative mood. These are both commands given to us. This isn't an option. This is a command from the living and true God to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Ephesians 5:20. These are mandates from God that every single day should be thanksgiving in our life. When you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills that advance to spiritual maturity, you will have thanksgiving and you will celebrate Christmas every single day. However, it's impossible to fulfill these mandates until you fulfill another mandate. 2 Peter 3:18, a command to grow up spiritually. God commands us to grow up spiritually, grow up in grace, that's grace orientation, and grow up in knowledge, that's doctrinal orientation. Grow up spiritually in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the key to thanksgiving is grace orientation. And when you have grace orientation in your soul, you have a mental attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving to God 24/7. So, one, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it is the will of God for you to have thanksgiving every single day. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it is the will of God for you to have thanksgiving every single day. The unique spiritual life that God has designed for the church age believer is so amazing and so fantastic that every single day can be and should be thanksgiving. Point two, This thanksgiving is directed to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:20. This thanksgiving is directed to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:20. In other words, thanksgiving is one of the spiritual sacrifices from your royal priesthood that you offer to God the Father. We have something very unique in this dispensation, the church age. Church age began at Pentecost. It concludes with the rapture. In this dispensation, this is the only time in human history when every single believer is a priest. We have the universal priesthood of the believer. And we are royal priesthood. We are in union with the King of all kings, Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, through the baptism of the Spirit. He is our royal high priest. And we are a kingdom of royal priests as believers, church age believers in Jesus Christ. Turn over to Hebrews 13. We've seen this many times. Very important. In the age of Israel, there was a specialized priesthood. The only people that were priests in the age of Israel were from the tribe of Levi. So that was the specialized priesthood. And the sacrifices they offered were animal sacrifices. Well, we're not living in the age of Israel. Jesus Christ fulfilled all those prophecies, and now he is the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the whole world. There's no more animal sacrifices anymore. There's no more a specialized priesthood, no more Levitical priesthood. Today in the church age, the universal priesthood of the church age believer is a royal priesthood. We don't offer animal sacrifices. We offer spiritual sacrifices to our Heavenly Father. And Hebrews 13 describes this. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Okay, these are spiritual sacrifices, and this one is a spiritual sacrifice of praise to God. And then he explains this. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. When it says to his name, thanks for who and what God is, for his essence, his attributes. So through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice, spiritual sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name for who and what God is, for the essence of God, the attributes of God. And then we have other spiritual sacrifices. And do not neglect the spiritual sacrifices of doing good, divine good production, and grace giving. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. For with such spiritual sacrifices, God is pleased. So you're all a royal priest. You're a part of we have a unique thing in the church age, the universal priesthood of the church age believer. You offer spiritual sacrifices to the living and true God. And these spiritual sacrifices include thanksgiving to God. It includes divine good production to God. It includes grace giving to God. So point two, this thanksgiving is directed to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:20. And thanksgiving is one of the spiritual sacrifices from your royal priesthood that you offer to God the Father. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Now, in those first two verses I gave you, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and Ephesians 5:20, in those first two verses we have the word for thanksgiving is in the Greek, el charisteo. Looks like this in the Greek. That's E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-E, long O, El Charisteo. That's the word for giving thanks to God. Now, there's two words. This is actually a compound word, which is made up of El or you, and that's the word good, and Charisteo, which is to give thanks. Or excuse me, charis, that's the word for grace. See, there's charis right there. That's the Greek word for grace. Here's the word for good. Here's the word for grace. So this is literally good grace. That really explains thanksgiving. It's good grace. It's the result of you growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Three, when the believer grows up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and has maximum grace orientation, that's when every day will be thanksgiving in your life. You will have good grace that comes from your lips in your prayers to the Father. You will offer spiritual sacrifices to the Father in your prayers as you offer thanksgiving to Him. Good grace to Him for who and what He is, for His essence, for His attributes, for His will, for His plan. So when the believer attains maximum grace orientation, then every day will be thanksgiving in your life. Four, thanksgiving is a very important part of worshiping the living and true God. Thanksgiving is a very important part of worshiping and worshiping the living and true God. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Again, the point, thanksgiving is a very important part of worshiping the living and true God. Colossians 1, let's start at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. Now, that word, knowledge of His will, is the word epignosis. E-P-I-G-N, long O-S-I-S. Gnosis means knowledge. Epignosis means completed knowledge, full knowledge. Completed knowledge, full knowledge. This is the knowledge of the Word of God that you hear, learn, and then you believe it. And when you believe it, God the Holy Spirit puts it into your heart, and now it's epignosis doctrine, completed knowledge, full knowledge. So he says, and asking God to fill you with the epignosis knowledge, completed knowledge, full knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit. Fruit is divine good production in your life, the result of the filling of the Spirit and the result of the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. In every way, bearing fruit in every good work, divine good production, growing in the knowledge of God. This is our word epignosis again, completed knowledge, full knowledge of God. Who and what He is, His essence and attributes, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and forbearance, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father, God the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loved, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. But he is joyfully and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. All right, let's amplify this a little bit. One, in verses 9 and 10 of Colossians 1, thanksgiving directed to God the Father is the result of being filled up with the epinosis knowledge of his will, the completed knowledge, the full knowledge of his will, the will of God, and being filled with the epinosis knowledge of the essence of God. So in verses 9 and 10, this thanksgiving directed toward God, God the Father, is the result of being filled up with the epinosis knowledge of the will of God and being filled up with the epinosis knowledge of the essence of God. Two, this is accomplished through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 9. It's the result of, well, starts out with finding a sound Bible teaching church and making those good decisions to consistently and faithfully assemble there, and then learn the Word of God and believe the Word of God. And when you believe the Word of God, it enters into your heart where you can now apply it accurately and skillfully to your life. So this is accomplished through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Three, and this results in joyfully giving thanks to the Father. This results in joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Verses 11 and 12. For having thanksgiving every day, joyfully given to God the Father, is the result of a soul filled with epinosis doctrine of God and his will. Having thanksgiving every day, joyfully given to God the Father, is the result of a soul filled up with epinosis doctrine of God and his will. Completed knowledge, full knowledge. Five, the spiritually mature believer's mental attitude toward God the Father is happiness and thanksgiving. The spiritually mature believer's attitude toward God the Father is happiness and thanksgiving, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Six, constantly being thankful is the result of grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, and virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Constantly being thankful is a result of grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. You fulfilled 2 Peter 3:18. You've grown up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Seven, Then you have thanksgiving every single day. And you fulfill the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Then you have thanksgiving every single day and you fulfill the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. All right, now look over at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, that's edification, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving, overflowing with thankfulness. So, one, the believer with maximum metabolized doctrine rooted in his heart is constantly overflowing with thanksgiving. Verse 7. The believer with maximum metabolized doctrine rooted in his heart is constantly overflowing with thanksgiving. Colossians 2:7. Secondly, thanksgiving is the result of edification, spiritual growth, being strengthened by means of the body of faith, the Word of God. Thanksgiving is the result of edification, spiritual growth, being strengthened by means of the body of faith, the Word of God. All right, now turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Maybe you just have to look over. Look over to chapter 3. Chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's elected ones, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Now this clothe yourselves, this is put on the invisible uniform of honor in your soul. So here, when it says clothe yourself, put on that invisible uniform of honor in your soul. Therefore, as God's elected ones, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, grace orientation, kindness, that's a part of grace orientation, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on virtue love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, reconciliation, to remove barriers between you and other people. And be thankful. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude, thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So, let's amplify this. One, being thankful is directly related to the uniform of honor that God wants you to have in your soul. What is that uniform of honor? The virtues of Christ developed in your heart. Being thankful is directly related to the uniform of honor. Verse 12, the virtues of Christ in your heart. 2, when the believer has maximum grace orientation, which we see in the words compassion and gentleness and kindness and humility and patience, then he has thanksgiving every day. When the believer has maximum grace orientation, that compassion, gentleness, kindness, humility, patience, then he has thanksgiving every day. 3, virtue love brought to completion in your heart results in having thanksgiving every day. And a key part of virtue love is impersonal love for all mankind. When you have that, then you forgive one another just as the Lord Jesus Christ forgave you. And verse 14, over all of these virtues, put on virtue love, verse 14, and reconciliation, verse 15. And reconciliation is removing barriers, not building barriers between you and other people, but removing barriers. That's a very important part of impersonal love for all. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart results in having thanksgiving every single day. 4, when you put on the uniform of honor with its compassion, gentleness, kindness, humility, steadfastness, virtue love, reconciliation, you can fulfill the mandate in everything, give thanks. That's when you put on that uniform of honor with its compassion, gentleness, kindness, humility, steadfastness, virtue, love, reconciliation, then you can fulfill the mandate in everything, give thanks. Everything. 5, divine viewpoint thinking is thanksgiving overflowing to God the Father because of who and what He is. Divine viewpoint thinking is thanksgiving overflowing to God the Father because of who and what He is. Being thankful is a mental attitude that results when you have maximum grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, and virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 6, being thankful to God becomes a spiritual barometer which reveals your mental attitude toward God. Being thankful to God becomes a spiritual barometer which reveals your mental attitude toward God. And 7, thanksgiving is an index of the spiritual status of the believer. When you attain spiritual maturity, then you will fulfill the mandates of Ephesians, or 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Ephesians 5:20. You will have thanksgiving every single day. You will offer spiritual sacrifices to God the Father every day in your prayers, giving thanks to Him for who and what He is, for His essence, His attributes, for His will, for His plan. You will constantly be giving the spiritual sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. 8, there is a direct relationship between your consistent and faithful learning and believing the Word of God and your attitude of thanksgiving toward God. There is a direct relationship between your consistent and faithful learning and believing the Word of God and your attitude of thanksgiving toward God. Nine, thanksgiving is a grateful acknowledgement of the blessings from the grace of God. You see, we are a total product of the grace of God. All that we have and all that we are is because of who and what God is. Thanksgiving is a grateful acknowledgement of the blessings from the grace of God. 10. Therefore, it is an expression of gratitude toward God based on your doctrinal capacity to appreciate who and what God is. Therefore, it is an expression of gratitude toward God based on your doctrinal capacity to appreciate who and what God is. Spiritually mature believers have capacity for true thanksgiving. It is an appreciation for God which cannot exist without attainment of grace orientation and virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Thanksgiving is first of all directed toward God, and then it overflows as capacity and appreciation for life. The greater the content of the Word of God in the believer's heart, the greater the capacity for mental attitude, thanksgiving in your life. Point 5. Thanksgiving is related to God's problem-solving devices. God has provided for us these fantastic problem-solving devices. Thanksgiving is related to all of God's problem-solving devices. So let's go through these problem solving. We start with number one. Number one is rebound. When you get out of fellowship with God, the Bible has said, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. That problem-solving device is, well, in our prayer meeting one time, we were broken up and divided up into little groups. In my group, there was a fellow in my group that was pretty new to the church. I didn't even know him that well. And I said, okay, now we're going to go around and each one of us take a little, pick something to pray for, and we'll go around and then we'll take something else and go around. Well, when it got to him first time, he said, Father, thank you for rebound. And I thought, that is the best, one of the best prayers I've heard in this. Thank you for rebound. And how to get back into fellowship with you. Thank you for 1 John 1:9. That is fantastic. Well, here we have it. Once you understand rebound, inevitably it becomes an expression of thanksgiving and gratitude to God for the forgiveness of sins and restoring you to fellowship with God. Secondly, thanksgiving is related to the filling of the Spirit. The problem-solving device of the filling of the Spirit, which is the divine power for living the spiritual life of the church age, and as the power for expressing our appreciation to God. In fact, without the filling of the Spirit, it's impossible to even give true thanksgiving to God. The third problem-solving device is the faith-rest life. The faith-rest life results in having thanksgiving to God in times of suffering, adversity, pressure, disaster. The faith-rest life results in having thanksgiving to God in times of suffering, adversity, pressure, disaster. Now, the faith-rest life has three stages. Stage one of the faith-rest life is you reach out by faith and claim a promise. There are over 700 promises in the Word of God. Claim a promise. That gets your head above water so you can start thinking. Then stage two, you reach out by faith and claim a doctrinal rationale. the essence of God rationale, the plan of God rationale, logistical grace rationale, a fortiori rationale. And then that brings you to stage three, a doctrinal conclusion. If God is for you, who can be against you? The faith rests life. So the faith rests life results in having thanksgiving to God in times of suffering, adversity, pressure, and disaster. Fourth problem-solving device, grace orientation. And grace orientation, well, that is the foundation, basic principle, the Word of God, for you to be able to have thanksgiving to God every single day. Grace orientation. And the fifth problem-solving device, doctrinal orientation. Doctrinal orientation provides greater and greater capacity for thanksgiving until the capacity is so great that God shares His happiness with you, the believer. Doctrinal orientation provides greater and greater capacity for thanksgiving until the capacity is so great that God shares His happiness with you, the believer. Sixth is the personal sense of destiny. And a personal sense of destiny motivates thanksgiving every day because the believer has total confidence in God's plan, God's will, and God's purpose for his life. So the sixth problem-solving device is a personal sense of destiny, which motivates thanksgiving every day because the believer has total confidence in God's plan, God's will, and God's purpose for his life. The seventh problem-solving device, personal love for God the Father. Personal love for God the Father motivates virtue and thanksgiving to be directed to the Father because of who and what he is. Personal love for God the Father motivates virtue and thanksgiving to be directed to God the Father because of who and what he is. And then the eighth problem-solving device, impersonal love for all mankind. That's the greatest problem-solving device for all personal relationships. It solves all people problems, resulting in great thanksgiving to God. So impersonal love for all mankind, the greatest problem-solving device for all personal relationships, solving all people problems, resulting in great thanksgiving to God. The ninth is sharing the happiness of God. Sharing the happiness of God provides tremendous contentment in life, and thanksgiving and tranquility of soul in every circumstance of life. Plus eight, sharing the happiness of God. Self-contained happiness provides tremendous contentment in life and thanksgiving and tranquility of soul in every circumstance of life. And the tenth problem-solving device, occupation with Jesus Christ. And that results in the ultimate mental attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. Occupation with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart. And he's there moment by moment, day by day. Point six, the winner believer has thanksgiving every single day because he can see the big picture. Can you see the big picture? Some of you can. Hope all of you can. The winner believer has thanksgiving every single day because he can see the big picture. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. And by the way, we're studying about the big picture on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, the big picture. Romans 8. Romans 8, start at verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good Now here's the key. To those who love God. That's the spiritually mature believer. You have to know God to love God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He predestined, these He also elected to privilege, called. And those whom He elected to privilege and called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Well, we're studying the big picture on Sunday morning. So a couple of things. One, the spiritually mature believer knows that all things work together for good for those who love God. The spiritually mature believer knows that all things, work together for good for those who love God. Two, if you are going to handle adversity and suffering in time, then you must be able to see the big picture. If you're going to handle adversity and suffering in time, then you must be able to see the big picture. Three, this means the spiritually mature believer knows and understands the plan of God, the will of God, the essence of God, why you are here, God's grace objectives for your life, where you are going, and therefore, we must know the Word of God. We must fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. So again, three. This means the spiritually mature believer knows and understands the plan of God, the will of God, the essence of God, why you're here, God's grace objectives for your life, where you're going, and therefore, we must know the Word of God to the maximum, fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. Four, once this is reality, then you will fulfill the mandate of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks for all things to God, even the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Command. Those aren't options for you as a believer. Those are commands to you from the Lord as a believer. Five, the spiritually mature believer is thankful for everything that comes into his life. The adverse circumstances as well as the wonderful circumstances. Because he can see the big picture, Romans 8:28 to 32. The spiritually mature believer is thankful for everything that comes into his life, the adverse circumstances as well as the wonderful circumstances, because he can see the big picture, Romans 8:28 to 32. And number seven, in difficulties and adversities, God is teaching us valuable lessons. In difficulties and adversities, God is teaching us valuable lessons. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, start at verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Are you exulting in your tribulation? The spiritually mature believer does. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character brings about confidence. And confidence never is ashamed and disappoints at the judgment seat of Christ, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So, one, without a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, it is impossible to see the brighter side of a particular trial. Without a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, it's impossible for you to see the brighter side of a particular trial. And you definitely won't be giving thanks to God. You will not be fulfilling the mandate to give thanks to God in all things. Secondly, but with a maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart, we know God. We have personal love for God the Father. We have occupation with Jesus Christ. We share His happiness. We are oriented to His grace. But with the maximum amount of the Word of God in our hearts, we know God. You have to know God to love God. And we have personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ. We share His happiness, self-contained happiness. We are oriented to His grace. Three, we know that we are in His hand, in the middle of His plan, carrying out His will for our lives. And therefore, we see His grace to us, and we offer thanksgiving to Him again and again, all the time, in all things. Okay, well, on this Thanksgiving Eve, happy Thanksgiving. And if you will look at God, what God is saying to you from His Word, and you learn it and you believe it, then you will have Thanksgiving every single day. And you will have Christmas every single day. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody, but not just tomorrow, but every single day, 365 days, happy Thanksgiving. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.